Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com. Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today I'm talking with Mahdi Youssef. He is the CTO at Gyroscope Innovations. How are you, sir?
Good, sir. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I don't remember how I bumped into Gyroscope. We were talking about something on Twitter, and I was talking about how I have like my Fitbit and I have my Microsoft Band, but I also have my blood sugar. I got all this data about myself. And I think it was Lynn who jumped in and was like, oh, check out Gyroscope. And, you know, people are always jumping in and saying, check out. It was Lynn Johnson. She says, check out Gyroscope. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. I was absolutely blown away. Like, I apologize for making the first part of this podcast me gushing over Gyroscope. Yeah. But I was like, legit, wow. Because I plugged in all this stuff for my life. So let me back up. I've just gushed. What is Gyroscope?
Gyroscope is what we're positioning to be is the operating system for your body. So you're generating all this data around your heart rate, your activity level, what you're doing on your computer. And all these are, like you said at the beginning, are siloed into different pieces of your life. And what Gyroscope provides is funneling it all into one space where you can look and analyze and view what you've been doing. You can see when you had a good day, see what you had a bad day. We connect to pretty much everything. Our app, for the most part, was an iOS app. We recently went into beta for our Android app, and we sync with Strava, Fitbit. We do a bunch of stuff around blood sugar most recently because we noticed a lot of people have been talking about that. And, you know, our users, the ones that we've had for a long time, are very passionate, and I'm assuming that's where Lynn came in and kind of suggested to you. And, yeah, so for the most part, it's just something that people use to track their entire lives as opposed to just, hey, I'm a runner, and I'm going to look at this sort of thing and not care about the rest of my life, but it gives you a full context. And that's really what the idea is. And we're aiming to be like the activity monitor for your body.
Yeah. And it felt though, there was some things that made it stand apart. Like someone who's listening might say, oh, okay, it's a health tracker. Well, it's more of like a life tracker where you get to decide what parts of your life matter to you. Like I've always felt, like you just said, I go into an app and it's like, oh, this is for runners. I'm not a runner. Oh, this is for bicycle people. I'm not that person. I went in here and I plugged into existing apps that I already had, like MyFitnessPal or Fitbit or the built-in health stuff that's plugged into the iPhone. For me as an iPhone developer, the idea that it's using the stuff I already and putting into the system. Like, for example, I have a third-party open-source app that manages my blood sugar that your app, Gyroscope, doesn't know anything about. It's called Loop. Yep. But my app puts stuff in a centralized health store, and you just noticed that and picked it up and did the right thing. That's amazing.
Absolutely. And we kind of do know that it's Loop. We also collect sources for these sorts of things. And so we kind of know where the data is coming from because some of the apps after a while, because a lot of the issues that we're facing on the building Gyroscope end of it is like data consistency. Where's the data coming from? Are these good, reliable sources? So there's a lot of work put towards deduping and making sure things are accurate. And so keeping track of sources is good to know. And I'm sure when whatever the app that you said Loop was using, HealthKit. Yeah. So, and then when it stores it in HealthKit, it gives some information about where it came from. So we pull everything from HealthKit, everything from your blood sugar all the way down to like your heart rate minute to minute. So it gives us a lot of information around people's health and what they're using to actually track this stuff. So if we notice like a lot of people are using Garmin, we can kind of go, okay, here's a priority and something we want to take a look at and kind of gear that towards building stuff for those tools.
So I'm looking here in my app right now. I've got it on my iPhone and I've got Fitbit and then I've got my Withings scale. So I'm tracking, I'm trying to get loose and weight. I got that plugged in. I got Foursquare. And then also like how I move and where I go. I still use Foursquare. I know a lot of people don't. But there's this great app called Moves that basically just watches you travel and keeps a log. It's kind of a private log. It's not meant for you to, like, for people to spy on you. It's just for you to know where you went and what you did and how long you spent there. All of that gets plugged into this. And then there's like a dashboard for all these different aspects of your life.
Absolutely. And once you start seeing this stuff visualized, you're like, I had a real shocking moment that I go to like maybe, you know, in a month, maybe 10 different unique places, right? Like two of which are new and everywhere else is just like either the gym, home, the movie theater, like favorite place to eat. You'll notice that you don't leave a certain area after a while. And the good thing about Moves is it's constantly on and it realizes where you're at places when you've been before. So it learns over time. And then that learning ability gets passed on to Gyroscope and we can kind of cluster things and kind of show where you're spending time. Some people even have a thing that's automatic. Have you heard about that company that has like a little thing that you plug into your car?
Yeah. It's an ODB tube connector for older cars and it tells you how your car is doing and where it went.
Yeah. So through rescue time, some people sync that in, right? So you can calculate how much time you're in the car, like commuting. So, you know, some people realize, oh crap, I'm in the car 40 hours a month, which is something that, you know, people don't realize minute to minute when you're stuck in traffic, but over a period of time, it can stack up. And some people have stop being in the car. They'll ride a bike or run or something like that. And instead of, you know, when it's convenient, instead of being in the car, and that'll have effects over the time, right? Like if you're, instead of driving 40 hours and sitting on your butt and doing nothing, you get in a bike, start doing stuff, it'll show on your waistline, say the least.
The thing that I think is the most powerful about what you just said was that even like you as a CTO and working on this product yourself, you're being surprised by your own product. It's giving you insights into stuff about yourself that you didn't even know. And I think that seems to be like the root about why one would measure. Like, why would you let a system carry, you know, look at all this data so you can be surprised and then make a change?
Well, absolutely. Like, right. So I've started working a lot longer than I was previously and I'd be at my desk kind of doing things, dealing with issues and stuff. And you miss a gym session here or there because your mind only realizes, you know, I haven't gone to the gym past couple weeks, right? But you know, in your mind, like that'll happen. The trend will change, right? You'll stop completely going and start feeling groggier, your sleep quality kind of drops. And you only notice that when you look at the data in aggregate and kind of looking across the scope, like what did I change? Like I started working more. I started sleeping less. And that, you know, with those habits come eating more and then gaining weight. So watching that in aggregate is really important because you won't know day to day. Like there's this book that I read. It's about this guy who went to the memory championships. He was a journalist and he was writing about it. And then he came back and won. But there's this one point where he's with his mentor and he's kind of talking about it. And he's like, your experience around things is, you know, what you remember. And if you keep forgetting things as you go along, there's no way to correct. In order to manage what you're doing correctly, incorrectly, you have to remember. And Gyroscope allows you to do that over the period of time. You can start to see when you dipped off. And we're working on a few things there where it notices your behavior has changed. So we can tell you, hey, you started working more. You know, you went from being this person in 6 months to being this person in 6 months. And it'll click you in earlier than later.
People don't realize that as software people, fundamentally, we know that you have to test stuff, otherwise you can't make a change, and you have to measure things, otherwise you can't cut. You know, this is a fundamental thing about engineering, about software, about woodworking, right? Measure twice, cut once. This feels like this is a measure tool that is going to allow us to make changes in all aspects of our life.
Yeah, and it's with context, right? You can look at, like, when context. You go to the doctor, yeah, with context. When you go to the doctor, for example, they kind of measure a few things where they think the problem is, and they kind of hope they can find it. If they see something there, they'll wait a couple months, do some more tests, and kind of see. But they're looking to get a trend from a few samples over time, right? Mm-hmm. When something's really out of whack, those things tend to show up. But if you don't have a baseline, naturally, you don't have a baseline for yourself. Like up until a few months ago, I didn't know what my baseline blood sugar was, right? Now I have a feel for it. So when it's a bit high, I'm like, that's not normal for me. And yeah. I can either take action and go, hey, I should go check this out. Or I'm like, oh, that's within normal. I had a bunch of Coke earlier today, right? And with that context, it provides you some understanding of what's going on. If you worked out a lot the day before, the next day your heart rate may be a little bit lower, or there's various things that we're looking at that we're starting to see correlations between, and it's important to kind of surface those just so you know as yourself what is going on with your body. And you may not prescribe to the, you know, to the norm. Like they suggest, you know, normal heart rates between here and here, certain blood pressures between here and here, but you may be a little bit different, right? And then when you go to the doctor, they're just, you know, there's a problem, they're trying to fix it. They're like a mechanic. They're not really trying to understand your whole system and fine tune it like you do a machine or a server or something like that. So when they're kind of just trying to deal with the problem, plug the leak and kind of keep it moving, kind of give you suggestions to improve it going forward, but you have no data to base that off of. You're not making a decision, like a conscientious decision as I would look at it in engineering. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to change that sort of thing. So we've been starting pulling in more medically useful information and kind of helping our users expose that from where it's already stored in your phone and you're not really seeing it in a way that's really impactful.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that I was impressed about and I'm interested in from a software architecture perspective is that rather than trying to be a piece of software that gets this data itself, it's really interacting in a very creative way with lots of other pieces of existing software. Like this is an integration hub. You plug into Moves, you plug into Rescue Time, which people use to track their computer time. You plug into Runkeeper and all of these kinds of things. That seems like a new perspective on how to design software. You're really a tool that gets along well with other pieces of software as opposed to trying to do all that work yourself.
Absolutely. So the team's fairly small. So that was one of the ways we kind of helped us get out the door and kind of pull in that information. Now we're starting to be a generator of this information. So we have a few ways of people entering things where there are not that many tools or the tools are very expensive. So things like ketones and blood sugar and stuff like that, you can manually enter into the app, but we do leverage all the tools that people have. So if people have bought a Fitbit already, or if people already have an Apple Watch or Samsung's offering, we try to pull in that data and try to leverage it for the user, right? Like if you're already generating this stuff, we want to go get it from where it is. We don't want you starting from day one where you got nothing and you got to start setting it up or spend a bunch of money to get on, right? We're trying to use the stuff that already exists and provide that insight to you because you're already outputting that stuff and you're giving it to another company to kind of, you know, use for yourself, but they're also using it too. So we kind of go, okay, you can take this information and benefit from it through the context. Like when you go for a walk, one app maybe just be a pedometer and it's not really tracking where you are. Mm-hmm. And Moves knows where you are, but it's not really a pedometer. It kind of is, but not a very good one. So when you combine those two things, it becomes more useful. Hey, I walked a bunch because I was walking to the store, and like those, you can see how those contexts can multiply to provide all types of insights around what you're doing. And generally, we want to integrate with most things to pull your information in, and then we store it because a lot of these services come and go. And sometimes, up until recently, iOS didn't really offer a way to sync your data between devices. We store the data, and you can move between your phones and still have it on there. They've recently implemented that thing, but it's also a way to store your data too long term.
Mm-hmm. One of a great example of presenting data contextually in a smart way is your beta feature called Mind Map, and I think it's so clever because you can't get in my brain, you can't decide what I'm doing, but you know if I'm working, if I'm at my computer, you can use Rescue Time to tell me that. Rescue Time is an app that will tell you what app is in the front, in the foreground. So if you're running, you know, a terminal, you're probably being productive. And if you're on Reddit, you're probably not productive, right? And then you can tell whether I'm playing music or not. So then all of those things can theoretically give you a context about what's going on in my mind, right? And if I have a Fitbit or an Apple Watch, you can tell if I'm asleep. That's an amazing roll-up of data that I didn't even imagine was possible.
Well, yeah, so that's one of our main views, and that's one of the really cool things when you first start using it. You can see when you slept, and then the second you started working, and the second you were at the gym working out in one whole view, right? And at a glance, you can tell if you had people have an ideal of a day. You know, they wake up, they're productive at work, they go and, you know, eat well throughout the day, maybe have a workout, and then come back home, relax, and then go to sleep. In my mind, that's a well-balanced day. And that's, you can look at that just at a glance from taking a look at these things. And the cross-section of all these data points, like our sleep AI is based off the cross-section of these things, right? Mm-hmm. Some people may not have a tool that generates sleep or records your sleep. There are many apps that are out there, but your activity is the true sense of like the truth. Like, when did I actually lay down? When did I stop? When did I get off the computer? When did I go into bed? And our sleep AI meshes a few of these stuff plus a few other things internally to figure out when you're asleep. And it's fairly accurate. We recently released that, and it can pinpoint when you went to bed.
Mm-hmm. How does it, like, how do you know that? Like, you know, I'm not at my computer. You know, I'm in bed. Why? Everything stopped moving?
Well, if you have a band on, so the requirement for that thing is having rescue time and a band on. And with those two things combined, if you're not, you know, moving around, you're probably laying down. We have some accelerometer data that we're trying to pull in recently to make sure that people are laying flat. That combined with a bit of activity tracking from when you've recently, so you can correct the sleep AI and it'll start to figure out when you naturally go to sleep.
Oh, wow.
And
which band is this? Which health band is this? Any health band?
Any health band. That's any health band that generates a reliable step count, and if you have rescue time connected, those two combined will give a pretty strong correlation of when you went to sleep. Granted, like things like laying down during the day or taking your watch off do break it, so we do debounce those bad values. But for the most part, if you have those two things on, for the most part, it'll work fairly well.
That's amazing. One of the things that's also very striking about your stuff is that there's all the tech behind it, which is amazing, but it's the design of it, the visual design. Again, I apologize, I'm gushing, but it's so darn pretty. Is this you? Did you have a particular person who designed this look and feel? Did you just get lucky with a great designer? Because it's extremely striking in its visual design.
So the CEO Anand is responsible for a lot of that. And, you know, from the day one, we kind of made the focus of like, this needs to be consumable in the sense that you're not looking at boring graphs. You're not looking at things that aren't as engaging. So when something is striking to you, you'll give it another look. You'll kind of look deeper, kind of look to see correlations between things. And we think that's, you know, tremendously important, especially when you're dealing with data that can be kind of, you know, not so engaging when you're looking at, you know, a simple step graph can't be too striking, but we always try to have two levels of information when it comes to it. So we can see minute to minute how often you're walking, but you can also then see clusters around that. You can also see it when you were doing something else, how that affected your step graph or when it's affected your heart rate. Another really cool one is when you're working out and you start a workout, you'll immediately see your heart rate spike up. Right. And that means you're doing something different than you were when you're sitting down or watching a television show. And you'll see, oh, why did that happen? And then you look at another graph and you're like, oh, because I was running or I was playing some kind of sport. Mm-hmm. So to provide that context, it requires a bit of good design and making it a priority, right? We could just lay all the data out and kind of like let you draw the conclusions, but we hope to provide a clean and beautiful interface in which you can enjoy it and share. Like, one of the huge parts of Gyroscope is the cards that we generate, which are little small infographics for your day, right? And people kind of share those online, and then that's what kind of lets us grow and kind of gain more users and stuff. Because they're like, oh, that's cool. It has my run, the distance I ran, kind of a little graph of where I run around. And we provide a way to, like, you know, make it unique to yourself, you know, take a picture of where you ran, or, you know, I've completed this marathon, and kind of shows you the distance, your pace, your elevation. So all these information is there. And, you know, we're kind of unlocking it through design and good engineering to provide the data to all the users and kind of give you a way kind of to show off your accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. So what data is stored where? And for those of us who are listening who might be worried about privacy, like, what's the story there? Like, let me give you an example. Yeah. I just went to Gyroscope to look at basically I went in incognito mode to see what it says about me. And it says, oh, well, this person's is private. So I'm like, okay, that's comforting. So like, I can share with my friends. So my data is private, but I'm on your website and I can see that you slept 8 hours last night. So congratulations. That's awesome.
Thanks. I try.
I think that's pretty, I'm like, he's a CTO. He probably sleeps like 3 hours a night. Like, no, you had it. Like, you slept pretty well. Yeah. And it says here, you're 97% productive. You've been online for the last 5 hours. That's super interesting that I'm looking about, you know, I can see you got good blood pressure. Like, is that, how do you feel about sharing that information? And how should people who are listening feel about sharing or not sharing their information?
Okay, so there's two things here. So as a person who's part of the company and kind of wanting people to kind of share some more of this stuff and kind of being open about it, me and Anand both share all our stuff. We're all our pages are wide open, so you can look at everything. You can see how much I weighed, last time I weighed in, all kinds of stuff. You can see how much weight I've gained in the past few weeks. Like, you can look at everything. Like, I'm kind of an open book when it comes to stuff like that. It's being tracked somewhere else, so I have no illusions of, you know, total privacy. There's obviously there's some, you know, modicum of privacy that I do expect as a user who's giving this data away. In terms of our users, we're very diligent about that. Not letting people, you know, being, let them being as much control as they want. You could completely lock everything down. So the card aspect that I mentioned earlier, you can kind of use it both publicly or just as a way to look at your own data. And then you can choose to save the card and share it with other people, or you can just keep it for yourself and it won't be posted anywhere and it's completely private. So the data is all stored in our database. So once you sign up on the app, you connect things, we kind of keep track of it for you. So over a period of time, we go get your heart rates, we go get your activity, your workouts, your productivity. We pull all that in, your blood pressure, your blood sugar, your ketones, we pull it all in and we store it for you and we keep it. So when a user decides to leave the account, we blow it all away. We also give you granular and wide privacy. So wide being you can completely lock down your account. Nobody can see anything. You can also do it so that only your friends can see it. You can do it so that you can turn off certain trends. So like, let's say somebody's sensitive about their age or weight or where they've been, you can, granularly turn each of those off.
It's funny that you point that out, because I'm pretty chill about like my blood sugar, my weight, whatever, I'll share that. But the thing that I noticed was that it told me my age like down to the second. And while I don't mind anyone knowing my age, it was a little depressing, like watching my age march forward into death. So yeah, that was like the first thing I did is I went and I turned that off, because I was like, I don't need to be.
Absolutely. So that was a feature that we heard as feedback from a lot of users. I tend to like it. It gives me like a little bit of sense of urgency when I'm kind of doing things. And, you know, it depends on how you look at it, really. Some people, it freaks them out. So we gave them a feature to turn that off completely. You know, there's tons of things that people just kind of like feel different about.
Yeah. And, but kudos on the granularity though. Like it is totally granular. Like, I turned off just that one thing. Yeah. But at the same time, like, I'm looking at the Explorer feature here, because I really like this because I've been using Foursquare when I travel.
Yeah.
And Swarm, right? What have I done with that data, right? Like, I'm the mayor of a couple of places, but it's stupid. I plug that into Gyroscope. It says I've been to 1,622 locations in 24 countries in over 300 cities. Like, it's awesome. That's freaking cool. It says here, like, we went to Disney World. So it's like, yeah, you've been to theme parks 18 times. And like just this month, I've been to 11 airports.
That's incredible that you're going and traveling that much, but that's awesome.
Seriously, I'll add you as a friend so you can like poke around and check out my data. Because what I like about this though is that I've had my Apple Watch for like a year and the data goes off into Apple land, but it doesn't give me any value. It's just, I got this watch on and I've been using Swarm and I love it because I use it to catch up with friends, but seeing those things contextually. You know, I went to 25 gyms and I have been, you know, 1.5 million steps, you know, but like over what point, over what period of time, all of that became interesting when you overlay the locations and things like that.
Absolutely. And like going back to the point about the country, we even had a user who pinged in going, hey man, there's no way for me to actually see what countries and I need to fill out a visa application. And he based off the data of where his Swarm data, he looked at Foursquare, they couldn't find anything. And he's like, I connected it here. Do you guys have any way of kind of showing that to me? And 2 seconds later, he had all the data and he submitted that with an application. So there's tons of stuff that you could use with collecting all that information, kind of keeping it stored and everything. And then we have a book that you kind of can buy at the end of the year that, you know, we put together custom for every user. And it could be something you throw on your coffee table as a discussion piece. So we pull together all, even if you're private or not, we'll ask to look at it. And then once we do that, we kind of go through it and kind of give you a design of how it potentially could look and then give you the book. So your productivity, where you've been, nice pictures that you pull in. So we have connections for Twitter and Instagram where you can pull in like, you know, pictures you took on a trip. and things you can do like that. And then we put it all into a book with all your, so like Nick Felton's book where he does it every year where he talked to everybody and all that, but with Gyroscope, where we kind of pull it all in, kind of give you a view of what you did that year.
It's really neat. People need to understand that while we can be freaked out about privacy and about data, if we are given control of that data, if we are put in control of that data, we can do some really cool stuff. You know, like some people are like, I'm not online. I don't put any data online. I don't want any of that information out there. That's fine. But like as someone who's diabetic with my blood sugar, being able to see, hey, I went to Atlanta. Where did I eat? My blood sugar was great. What is that related to? Is it the walk? Is it the location? Is it, you know, what? There's 20 different questions I can ask myself about why a day was a successful day. And having the tools to be able to figure that out is really powerful. But I've been trying to mess around with this stuff in like Excel.
Yeah. it's a bit of a task, right? Like after a while, you can do it for a little bit, but then you fall off the wagon. And, you know, a big effort around what we've been doing with Gyroscope is to keep it as passive as possible, right? For the app or the human OS that we're trying to build to ping you when things happen that are of concern, or to ping you when, you know, you're with outside of the ranges for certain things, or ping you when you set a goal and you're not reaching it. You need it to be interactive with you in a way that's not naggy, but in a way that's like, hey man, you kind of wanted to do this earlier this week. What do you think? You still want to kind of do that? And that's the way direction we're kind of headed in terms of figuring out like correlations between things and insights around these things. Even at a company level for, you know, corporations often, you know, provide like, you know, stipends to go to the gym or to buy a bike or any type of gear. We have like a super like beta thing that we're kind of doing with companies to kind of get everybody on board that has integration with Slack and lets people, you know, give kudos for when we're doing things and like, you know, company wide step graphs and all sort of stuff at an aggregate level. So people can kind of get a feel for what everybody's into and what everybody's doing. And that's something really, really interested in expressing and showing off in the future.
Yeah. You said that you had noticed that people were getting interested in blood sugar. And I know that that's pretty niche, but it is a thing that I produce more blood sugar data than anyone, right? Like you might, yeah. You said that you were checking your blood sugar. I assume you do it like once or twice a day and then you put it into the app manually while I'm making it every 5 minutes because I have an implanted sensor.
Yeah.
And I noticed that that had caused some problems because when I tried to visit one of your cards, it was generating slowly. So then I pinged you on Twitter and you had like fixed that within like a day. Yeah. How does that change your architecture? Like some people might be producing passive, massive amounts of data and absolutely, other people might throw in their blood pressure data once or twice a month.
So granted. So yeah, so that problem tends to happen from time to time. Blood sugar is one of our new integrations. And when we were building it, we're like, this is kind of cool. So right now I have like a one drop. It's just a simple finger prick and it automatically writes it to HealthKit. And then our app pulls it up and pulls it into our site and it's exactly there. So no big deal, right? For somebody like you who's like got like an implant in their arm, you're generating, you know, over the day, you're generating 5 minutes, probably in the thousands of data points.
Definitely.
So that over time, you build up a lot more, right? So in a day, 1,000, in a year, you're doing around 300,000, which is something we were prepared for with heart rates because we knew that was going to be the case. People are wearing watches, generating minutely data every few minutes. So we're aware of that when we're kind of doing that thing. When we launched it, we noticed a few people that were had like literally within a minute of releasing it had already 500,000 records in our system. We're processing we're processing, you know, over 2 million data points coming in through the system, be it running or heart rate or whatever it may be, step graphs. So that was one of the ones we kind of found out over time and realized, hey, there's a lot of people with a lot of blood sugar data. So let's make this so that it pulls in. And then obviously we had to, you know, we're still working on it, but we're reworking the way the graphs work for those sorts of things with people like yourself who have a lot of blood sugar measurements. Mm-hmm. So we want to give a card that's useful for that versus, you know, the single data point after lunch. I just kind of ate. What's it at?
Mm-hmm.
So architecturally wise, it was just a small change there, but like we generally have support for things like that. It was just us being not aware of how many people are kind of collecting that much data.
But it sounds like the underlying background system is it supports that idea of, you know, occasionally added data like blood pressure and constantly added data like heart rate or in my case, blood sugar. And then it sounds like you're thinking about that. And then I went and I just to make sure people know, like, being transparent here, within about 15 minutes of playing with Gyroscope, I signed up for the pro features, which gives me more reports and premium features. So I basically did the unlock. I got new layouts, new cards. I got the AI sleep tracking, and I'll get the annual report as well, which is pretty sweet. So I was super happy about that. And I may plug it into my custom domain. So I could actually have like gyroscope dot, you know, something.
Hanselman.com. Like some domain on your main domain. Yeah. That's absolutely cool. So I have it set up like that. That's where I direct everybody when they kind of want to see where I'm at. Mm-hmm. There's a cool thing that we also do is DNA. So if you've ever done a 23andMe analysis.
I did, actually.
So great. So we can kind of, you can kind of plug that in as a pro feature as well. And, you know, in the future, we hope to pull in that insight from your DNA into the app. So, you know, if you have a certain muscle type that, you know, lends itself better to weightlifting than running, and, you know, we starting to see that you're starting working out, we can kind of give you suggestions around that. At the moment, it's kind of just cool stuff about yourself you can kind of keep around with you. But in the future, we plan to leverage that to kind of give you more, more insight about yourself and what you should and should not be doing.
I am pretty sure that I do not have the special DNA that makes me extra fit. But thanks for reminding me of that. Oh, I do not have that.
I'm sure you have something else that makes you special.
Yeah, I'm sure I probably have something, but I'm pretty sure that that's not it. I may have hurt myself doing squats yesterday, though, so I have to enter that into the system.
Yeah, there's injury tracking too. Like, we're starting to expand our, you know, our insights around these things, and kind of because we have to, in order to provide you some insight around the stuff, we kind of have to kind of collect information, and we take it very seriously. We know that, you know, that information, not everybody feels comfortable sharing it with everyone, and, you know, we go to some lengths to provide you most of the control and all of, as much as we can. And we do take a lot of conscientious effort around keeping that secure as possible and not letting anybody access it.
Yeah, I've been totally impressed with it. Everything is using, like, you know, OAuth or the different thing. You know, I'm not putting my password into your thing. Each one of these is a connected app. So I gave you explicit access to my health kit or to my moves data or to my scale. And I can turn any of that off whenever I feel like it. So Absolutely. I'm definitely digging it. And you said, to be clear, your like how y'all are going to make money as a startup is through pro and through, I assume, like, you know, insurance companies and stuff, not through Absolutely. Selling my stuff. Yeah.
We're still looking into various ways, but the main way we make money right now is through pro subscriptions. Like, there is no goal like to turn your information over to the man. Like, we want to build a product that provides value to people and provides, you know, improvements over their health. We have tons of blog posts around people that have, like, you know, had a heart attack and came back around and used Gyroscope to kind of get them more motivated to doing runs. And you can find all that stuff on our blog, but our goal is not to sell your data. Like, there are companies that end up doing that sort of thing, and that's not where we're headed. And we want to kind of provide value directly to you through the use of the app and through our pro features and provide as much insight. And that's where we're headed next. We've kind of gone through the phase of, you know, data aggregation, getting all the data, and now all your stuff's kind of in our system. The next set of steps is trying to give you, you know, insights that you may not be able to see, right? Like, over, like, year over year improvement. Like, when you finish a run, is that one of your best runs? When you consistently worked out more than you ever worked out, kind of insights around your behavior. So let's say, you know, you kind of break your leg, you're walking a lot less. We can kind of let you know that, you know, this has affected you in that way. You may know, but in cases where there are things that you may not realize that are happening, your blood sugar is kind of spiking, you're eating more. These habits that you generate on a day-to-day basis, but have serious impacts over the long term. We're trying to provide more insight around that. We recently hired a new head of data science who's going to be focusing on that in the next 6 months. And I'm really excited about the future, because if you can get together all the information that you're putting out there, right, with context, there's a lot of insights that you can unlock, right? Am I sleeping better? Is my workouts overall, am I getting more fit? Is my heart rate, like, decreasing over time as I'm working out? Are there ways that I can improve how I'm working out? There's all this information is there, and there's a lot of companies that are doing a lot of this biohacking and kind of doing a lot of stuff where they, you know, they take supplements and doing all that sort of stuff and actually measuring how those things affect you. Right. Is the difference measurable? Is it actually worth it? And, you know, we plan to be the operating system around that, and kind of, you can at a glance get a look at what's going on with your body and how you're feeling and unlocking that potential for the human.
Very cool. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you so much, Scott.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.